Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host, Avik, and today we are joined by Marcus Schaller. Welcome to the show, Marcus.
Thank you so much, Avik. Pleasure to be here.
Lovely, lovely. So Marcus, like before we start our conversation today, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners quickly, that Marcus is a seasoned coach and marketing consultant with over 20 years of experience. So Marcus specializes in helping overwhelmed entrepreneurs conquer their toughest business challenges. Cap. So as a host of Your Morning Spark, he shares actionable strategies for overcoming the obstacles and also achieving breakthrough solutions. So with this, why to wait? Let's join us as he will share his strategies, insights into our show. So welcome to the show again, Marcus.
Thank you.
It's lovely, lovely. So Marcus, to start with, if you can share some of the common challenges that entrepreneurs face when they feel overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, if you think about the typical day for entrepreneurs, it's just constant challenges, right? Constant distractions too. And I think there's almost like a meta way to look at this. It's not even just one type of challenge. It's that they tend to happen in clusters, right? And I think overall, one of the biggest challenges that I've seen entrepreneurs face is understanding how to even prioritize where to focus their time, right? Because we've all seen how easy it is to get caught up in just urgent, not important problems, right? And the firefighting, putting out fires mentality and being very reactive day to day. So you're just heads down, trying to get through the work, right? Trying to serve your clients or customers or hire people, whatever it is that's on your agenda that day. Yeah. And of course, you're getting alerts from every direction and people are coming to you with problems and this customer's angry, whatever happens. And it's very easy to get caught up chasing whatever the most urgent on fire problem happens to seem like at the moment. Sure. So I think overall, that's the biggest meta challenge that entrepreneurs face. Right. And it's a lot of what I focus, not only my work as a coach and a speaker, but also a lot of my own content and podcasts of just ways to kind of reframe how we're looking at problems to start getting a handle on where to focus in a way that's going to have the greatest impact.
Oh, okay. Lovely. That's great. So, I mean, what are some of the warning signs that indicate that an entrepreneur is struggling with the overwhelm?
Well, burnout is definitely one that I think a lot of people face, where there's an emotional component to this, right? So if you think about problem solving and entrepreneurship, it's not just creative or intellectual, it's also emotional. It requires a tremendous amount of emotional energy to be able to show up fully every day and serve people, right? Serve your customers and your employees and your team members and your partners. And one of the first things that can take a hit is your emotional energy for dealing with all that. So when you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling like you're underwater and you're not making any progress and you don't feel like you have any real control, right? You don't feel like you have any real agency over your own ability to focus on what matters to you and do the work that matters to you. It can feel like you just start to check out a little bit, right? It's like there's an energy component of this, which I think might relate to yourself and or resonate with yourself and your listeners when it comes to like the mindfulness aspect of it, right? And the spiritual part of it and what it is to have chakra and creative energy and all that. And I think that's one of the things that really can take a hit. So I think like on a practical level, one of the symptoms of that can just be just emotional and mental fatigue, right? Where you're just going in, you're working. Some people work very long hours. A lot of people do, and they work many, you know, every day a week, right?
Yeah.
And they're just spent. They just have nothing left in the tank. And unfortunately, especially in the United States, but I'm sure in many other parts of the world, we just don't put a lot of value overall on recovery and rest and restoration. So I think it just becomes this really downward spiral with people that can end in essentially just in some pretty bad outcomes.
Okay. So, I mean, as a coach and the marketing consultant, what according to you are the strategies that you would recommend for navigating the overwhelm effectively?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm a big fan of something called the theory of constraints, which essentially states that that every system has a bottleneck or a weak link. You can visualize it as a chain of links, right? And there's a weakest link, and that the most effective way to make progress toward a goal is to identify those bottlenecks or weak links and focus on fixing those. And I think that's an area that it's not necessary. It's originates, as far as I understand, from a manufacturing industry, as far as systems of manufacturing. So if you could visualize it as a factory with multiple steps in a process, if machine number two goes down, every machine after that is going to be slowed down, right? Because it can only go as fast as the one prior as the bottleneck. And so it makes no sense to try to optimize those other machines until you fix that one, right?
Yeah.
And I think just getting into that mindset or that model, where if you're an entrepreneur and you're dealing with a lot of different issues, to start thinking of it in terms of systems and looking for essentially where is the bottleneck in this? And I'll give you if it's okay, if I can give you just a very practical example. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Perfect. So most companies, and not every company, has a website, right? So think about how common it is for companies or entrepreneurs of all sizes and shapes to spend a lot of time and energy making this perfect website, right? It's beautiful. They spend a ton of money or time on it, on this beautiful website, but they haven't tested their product yet, right? They haven't gotten feedback from the market yet. They haven't figured out their positioning and messaging yet. So that's the bottleneck, right? So they can have this beautiful website, but they don't have any traffic to it, at least no quality traffic, right? There's no real product marketing fit. So they've spent a lot of time focusing on the website at the expense of what is really the prior step that needs to be put in place. And what will often happen is there's no traffic, there's no sales, or not enough. And so they go back to the website. Oh, we have to optimize it. We have to get a better CTA. So they're really focused on the wrong part. And if you multiply that times how many of those types of situations occur in a business, you can think about every aspect of a business, marketing and sales and product development. Like, so you just multiply that example times whatever, 50, right? And it's all those types of things. And just getting in the habit of being able to say, to slow down, say, yes, we know what the problem is, or we know that there is a problem, but we haven't identified exactly what that problem's cause is. And we need to focus on that first.
Exactly. That's very, very true. Yeah. We often overlook also these things. Yeah. Mm.
It's easy to, right? Because if you think about it, we come in with a lot of assumptions, especially if we have a background in a particular area. So me as a marketer, and other marketers as an example, if you come to a marketer and you say our sales are suffering or our sales are dropping, a marketer might come in with a marketer hat, right? And the assumption based on their experience that it must be a marketing problem. Right. So that's what they're going to fix. Like they're looking for a nail because they're a hammer. Right.
Yeah.
And getting in the habit of not going into it with an assumption of the cause must be this, right? And therefore, they're assuming what the solution is as well. And it keeps you very locked into a narrow focus way too early. It's great to narrowly focus, but you have to start out with a more expansive approach so that you can really look at the full system and understand where is the real problem here so you can focus on what matters.
True. Exactly. So, if you can share as well, like how can entrepreneurs identify and prioritize their most critical issues when they feel overwhelmed by multiple challenges?
Yeah, the first step I would recommend, or I generally recommend, is to slow down, is to stop, right? And it's counterintuitive, right? Because we're not used to slowing down. We're used to speeding up. And I think that's where we get ourselves into trouble. Because if you think about it, as I mentioned earlier, there's an emotional component to this, right? It's uncomfortable to not know. We don't like it. It feels bad to have uncertainty and ambiguity. So the default approach for a lot of people is to rush to conclusions, right? They want to just, you know, commit to the first good enough idea they can think of, right? And it's usually, again, based on our own experience and kind of assumptions and subjective opinions. And that gets us now in the rabbit hole of we're now stuck in this solution mode. We're jumping to solution mode before we've actually taken the time to understand the problem. So there's a quote that I really like. It's attributed to Albert Einstein, although there's some controversy about who it came from. But whoever said it, basically it's, if I had a problem to solve, or if, you know, it was like, almost like if I had a, you know, there was a threat to the end of the world or something like that, and I had an hour to solve this, I'd spend the first 55 minutes thinking about the problem and the last 5 minutes thinking about the solutions, right? What we generally do is the exact opposite of that, right? We spend very little time thinking of the problem. We jump to a conclusion because then we're like, okay, I feel like I understand this now, even if we might not. And then we spend the rest of the time focused on how do I solve this? And you're going in all these different directions. And but that approach really ends up wasting, ironically, a lot more time, energy, and money because we're rushing through the beginning of that process. So my general advice to people is slow down, just take a breath, and get some perspective. Start asking yourself some questions about what is the problem itself? Why is this problem happening? What are some of the causes, right? How would somebody else solve this problem? How would Elon Musk or Richard Branson or Albert Einstein solve this problem? And I think also importantly is looking at it and asking yourself, what assumptions am I making about this? And am I going in with this, again, subjective opinion about what I think this, the cause is? Because think about it, like one of the hardest parts about solving problems isn't like lack of ability. Where we're all, most of us are very creative, right? Everybody's creative. Sure. What it's really the hard part is we make an assumption that there's only one root cause. We've been kind of trained to think that every problem has a root cause. But if you think about abstract problems can have multiple causal factors. And some of those causes are easier to solve than others. Some of those causes are really hard to solve. And so when we get a better breadth of possible causes, we can actually identify and then choose the cause that is actually much easier to fix. So we can approach a problem and actually solve it much more efficiently and elegantly than if we just jump to, unfortunately, we tend to kind of jump to what's the most complex explanation of this. And then we try to hack away at it and we just get very frustrated.
Exactly. Exactly. True. So... in your experience, what do you think are the benefits of seeking support or mentorship dealing with the overwhelm?
Yeah, that's another good question. I think the benefits of it is other people bring perspectives that we might not have really ever been able to recognize ourselves, right? And what can often keep us from doing that is our own clinging to, you know, it's ego thing sometimes. Like sometimes it's hard to put an idea or a problem out there and have other people see behind the hood of what's going on, right? And I'll give you a quick example. I'm working on this kind of membership community roundtable mastermind idea, right? And 10 years ago or 5 years ago, even, like, I wouldn't have like asked other people for their input. I would have just been like, this is how I want to create it, because it was like this precious little idea and I want it to be mine, right? And it's so different for me now. But, you know, what I've been doing now is, like, for the last couple of weeks, I've been just reaching out to a ton of people that I know and just asking them, like, telling them my idea and just like, tell me what your thoughts are. Tell me where it's bad. Tell me where. And I've been getting so much good feedback and input and ideas and insights from that, that I never would have thought of, at least not quickly enough. I would have maybe learned those over time through trial and error, which is fine. But I got to so much broader understanding of the possibilities with this by just reaching out to people. And I think the same thing applies to solving problems. It's amazing how many of us can relate to the same challenges, but we approach it from different angles. So sometimes when you talk to somebody, whether it's a coach or whether it's a peer, or whoever it is, they're sometimes able to ask you questions that are really able to help you look at it from a totally different perspective. And sometimes when you can just reframe a problem based on a different question, it's really incredible about how often you can just wind up coming up with this, a really good solution, like, that just comes up almost effortlessly.
Yeah. So, lovely. Also, I'm very curious to hear from you any success story of an entrepreneur where who effectively navigated overwhelm and found that innovative solutions to their problems.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the sense of privacy, I can't really share specific stories, but I mean, for other people, but I think that there's a story that I share that I originally read from Ozan Viral, who's the author of Think Like a Rocket Scientist, which is a phenomenal book. And he shares this story of in developing countries, you know, the risk of death from hypothermia is a huge issue for premature babies, right? And yeah. It's not necessarily a business problem, but I think it really kind of sums this up. And the typical approach to it was to try to put more incubators into hospitals. But the problem is, or the issue is that a lot of these babies are born in rural areas, right, where they don't have access to hospitals. And they don't even have access to electricity in a lot of cases. So long story short, basically, this team of people actually reframed the problem from more incubators in hospitals to keeping more babies warm, right? And they were able to come up with this thing called the Embrace Infant Warmer, which was just, if you look it up, it's this incredible little, you know, device that just, it's like 1/800th the cost of an incubator. It's just incredible. And it saved, at the time of the writing, hundreds of thousands of lives. At that time, that was a few years ago, so I can't even imagine how many now. I love that story because what it does, you could apply that to business, you could apply that to any situation. But what it really highlights for me is, first of all, just how easy it is to get caught up in status quo bias, status quo thinking, to get stuck in that, even when a really good solution seems so obvious in hindsight. And the other thing it really demonstrates is just how enormous the positive impact can be when you reframe a problem. So if you think about how that applies to entrepreneurship, there's so often that, you know, the success we're looking for is really one reframed or redefining the problem away, right? We can just look, if we can look at a problem differently, we're able to see different angles on it, that a solution to it might be just incredibly easy once we've spent a little bit of time actually understanding the problem fully.
Exactly. That's really lovely. Yeah. So before we move, like, what advice do you give to the entrepreneurs who are currently feeling overwhelmed and struggling to find the solutions to their business challenges?
Yeah, I think learning how to lean into the discomfort is really critical here. Because we have, and it just, as a side note, you know, for over 10 years now, I've been very active in, like, mindfulness and meditation practice and yoga and karma yoga and all that. You know, it's for me, it's been a life-changing, you know, kind of practice. And the fast forward of the kind of like the bottom line of that for me is looking at it as like our ability to lean into discomfort, to experience discomfort, however you get there. Yoga is just one way to do it, right? But if you can lean into that discomfort and be conscious and aware of it rather than moved unconsciously by it, rather than triggered by it, rather than just constantly reacting to it, then you have the choice, right, to say, okay, this is a really tough situation, right? It stinks. I don't like how this feels. But if you're aware of that and conscious through that, then you're no longer reactive and you're no longer habitually conditioned response of just jumping to conclusions and hacking away at a problem, right? So the emotional part, the first step I for myself and everybody that it comes up with is just as best you can, just try to be present with it. And what will happen is, depending on where you're at in your own development and mindset and all the different attributes that allow us to process things, that eventually, when we're no longer resisting it, it will pass through, sometimes quicker than other times, right? And once you allow it to pass through, that energy of that fear and worry is no longer just completely clouding your judgment. Now you're able to think much more clearly. And I think that bypassing that step is what often gets people into trouble, because they get really just stuck in their heads and everything becomes an intellectual exercise. But I think there's a lot of layers beyond that. So,
that's great. Great. So thank you so much, Marcus, for your invaluable insights on navigating the overwhelm in entrepreneurship. And for the listeners, I would love to mention, remember that recognizing warning signs and prioritizing the self-care are the key. So implementing these strategies can lead to a sustainable success. So with this hope, stay tuned for more empowering conversations. And until next time, take care and keep striving for that greatness. So thank you so much.